This is WMNF Tampa. Samar and Ahmed are celebrating EID, and here is a show on Ramadan.
Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Samar. Samar is traveling today, and today we're going to have a special guest. An imam is blessing our studio, and I'm going to have a conversation with Imam Derek Pete. So Imam Derek Pete will be here, tell us about his story. We're going to learn about him. Actually, it's a two-part series, may end up being three parts. So next week, we're going to also continue that conversation with Imam Derek Pete. This is True Talk on WMNF. We'll be right back after this short music break. On WMNF 88.5. This is Ahmed Badir, your host. And in the studio with me is Imam Derek Pete, who is our guest for today and actually next week as well. Welcome to True Talk, Imam Derek.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Imam, before we get to Islam and what the religion is about, I wanted to know a little bit more about you, but first, like, your name is Imam Derek Pete. What is an imam?
So an imam is a community leader, spiritual leader, teacher, preacher, really a combination of things. You're really looking to serve community, you know, and the call to God.
How did you... What made you an imam? How did you become one? Did you just put the label to your name, or what?
So that's an interesting story.
What's your imam journey?
So it began.
A tornado warning for northwestern Pasco County in west central Florida until 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 12:07 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was located near Newport Richie, moving northeast at 40 miles an hour. Hazard: tornado. Source: radar indicated rotation. Impact: flying debris will be dangerous to those caught without shelter. Mobile homes will be damaged or destroyed. Damage to roofs, windows, and vehicles will occur. Tree damage is likely. This dangerous storm will be near Newport Richey, Hudson, Jasmine Estates, and Newport Richey East around 12:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Other locations impacted by this tornadic thunderstorm include Moon Lake, Gower's Corner, Bayonet Point, and Shady Hills. Take cover now. If your home is flooded, avoid flood waters. If possible, take shelter in an interior room. Avoid windows. If you are outdoors, in a mobile home, or in a vehicle, move to the closest substantial shelter and protect yourself from flying debris. Repeating, a tornado warning has been issued until 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following county, Pasco, Florida.
For about 6 months, I was in Cairo, Egypt, studying Arabic.
Wow.
And so that's the beginning of the journey, studying Arabic, also studying other Islamic sciences. Yeah, so that's how it began.
And
that was 2009.
Yeah. And then when did you finish your studying?
I finished my studies in 2017. After...
It's like 8 years.
Yeah, after leaving... So I ended up leaving Egypt and transferring to Jordan, where I finished my bachelor's degree. So that's, you know, so I finished studying things about Islamic law, the belief system. Completed that in Jordan, and a degree in...
I see you have a habit of tapping the table.
Yeah, it's a thing that you pick up when you give lectures.
People get annoyed on the radio.
Oh, they'll hear it somewhere.
Yeah, they hear, like, thumping in their radio. So
sometimes I do it to, you know, to either... Like, when on the member, you kind of explain to people by...
What's the member?
Oh, right. It's the pulpit in the mosque. So you end up, using your hands to kind of illustrate to people, even though they can't see me. So, yeah. So I've completed my studies there in Jordan. And, you know, alhamdulillah, it was just a blessing. My time overseas broadened my horizons, learned so much about, learned so much about myself, about the people there. And I guess it was really... A critical in my growth as a Muslim in seeing the Islamic lands, seeing Muslims in context, in their own cultures, not as a minority, but fully as a majority, settled in their own communities, and also seeing the Islamic heritage and legacy, like being in Cairo, for example, and being in the old city, that was really transformative. I once prayed in the month of Ramadan, which is the month of, you know, that Muslims fast. It's actually in 2 months. We'll be fasting the entire month. And I went, I think it was the 27th night of Ramadan, 2010, prayed with about 100,000 other people. 100,000 other people praying together in a ancient mosque, which is over 1,000 years old. And that was powerful. That was really transformative. So those sorts of experiences, you know, those stay with you for a lifetime. So that was the some highlights of the journey.
Were you born Muslim?
Actually, I was not.
Oh, when did you become Muslim?
Converted to Islam in 2003.
So 2003, how old were you then? Or
16.
So this was in high school?
Yeah, I was a junior in high school.
Well, that's so interesting. Usually juniors in high school are not really thinking about faith. Well, you were in South Florida at the time?
South Florida. You know, there's a few different factors that I can give for that. I think the primary factor is a tragic one. My father died when I was 11 years old, unexpectedly. He passed away. And from an early age, I was forced to take life more seriously than most adolescents do. For better or for worse, that was, I had to think about the fragility of life at a very early age. I had to give consideration to death, not because I wanted to, but, you know, it just was what it was. So in that context, every everything just became more serious for me. I became more like, I guess, introverted. And, you know, was always thinking, always giving things thought. And amongst these things that you give thought is God and religion. And that caught my attention from, I think, 13, 14, really caught my attention. And then, you know, there on out is all about searching, is researching, and thinking about my own identity, thinking about God, thinking about...
At that young age, you were thinking about these things.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's different than when other kids your age were thinking about.
Yeah.
So did you ever express these things with other people, or you just kind of stayed to yourself, or...
So, at times I was by myself. But at other times I also had friends who I discuss things with periodically. But really it was self-exploration, just in all honesty. It was just me looking things up online. And
what were you looking for?
In a word, truth. Just to reality, you know, amongst the early question that I had was that, okay, we have different types of faith, right, that all claim to be right. So whether that's Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, they claim to be right. Logically, you know, my position was that, well, one must be right. Not everything can be right. And I need to make a decision for myself which one is right. So, and that would require, you know, exploration, researching.
Why did you feel like you needed to make a decision? I mean, I just feel like most teenagers, they just don't want to make any decisions. They just...
Maybe you go with the flow.
Yeah, they just go with the flow. They're like, you know, they just get up and consume television, whatever, you know.
There's certain things that God really just thrust into your heart. And they become these questions that really grip you.
So 2003, you were 16.
Yeah.
Your father had died 5 years prior.
Yeah.
Now this after 9/11 with the tragic events. Mm-hmm. So you know the perception of Muslims in America, it's not like, you know, nobody wants to be on the team Muslim.
Yeah.
But somehow you, when you're looking at these things, you actually considered Islam. So how'd you...
has issued a tornado warning for northwestern Pinellas County in west central Florida until 12:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 12:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was located near Harbor Bluffs, over 7 miles northwest of Seminole, moving northeast at 35 miles an hour. Hazard: tornado. Source: radar indicated rotation. Impact: flying debris will be dangerous to those caught without shelter. Mobile homes will be damaged or destroyed. Damage to roofs, windows, and vehicles will occur. Tree damage is likely. This dangerous storm will be near Clearwater, Largo, Harbor Bluffs, and Ridgecrest around 12:20 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Palm Harbor around 12:25 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. East Lake around 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Other locations impacted by this tornadic thunderstorm include Bellier Bluffs, Indian Shores, Walsingham Park, Bellier Shore, Crystal Beach, Bellier, Bellier Shores, Bellier Beach, Oldsmar, and Safety Harbor. Take cover now. If your home is flooded, avoid flood waters. If possible, take shelter in an interior room. Avoid windows. If you are outdoors, in a mobile home, or in a vehicle, move to the closest substantial shelter and protect yourself from flying debris. Repeating, a tornado warning has been issued until 12:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following county, Pinellas, Florida.
Talking about, you know, returning to Africa, giving black people their dignity, and, you know, so that vibe is there in the culture. So it was kind of natural for me as a Jamaican-American / African-American that what Malcolm said would vibe with me, because one of Malcolm's main influences was Marcus Garvey, another Jamaican. And so that was definitely, you know, so where Malcolm was coming from immediately, you know, would resonate with me, resonate at a very, very deep level. So when I heard Malcolm, that, you know, it felt like, it just felt natural, felt like water. And it felt indigenous. It felt like me.
So you found out that Malcolm X became Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, you started searching.
Uh-huh.
So what was it about Islam that, I guess, at that moment that got you, or you were convinced, or you had to join?
Yeah, so the primary thing, I'll give a story. So I was interested in Islam for several months before, or maybe even a year before I eventually converted. So I would read online about Islam, but I was also reading about Buddhism, Hinduism. I was reading about Judaism, different faiths. I was, you know, was of course as a Jamaican, knew, I was familiar with the Rastafarian movement. So I was sitting in my 10th grade history class, and we were doing the world religions at that time, did Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and finally we got to Islam. That was exciting for me. So I was sitting there in class, the teacher was lecturing, and I actually was reading ahead in the book. And as I read ahead, it just occurred to me that this is extraordinarily simple. This is so basic. This is so straightforward. And I had the audacity to raise my hand in class and ask the teacher, well, if this is what Islam is, why isn't everybody Muslim? I don't know where this just came out. I just couldn't hold it back, but very simple religion, very straightforward, very simple beliefs, belief in one God, belief in praying to him, repenting when you make mistakes, a religion that's sent for all of humanity. There's no racism in Islam. It's a religion of solidarity between people, giving to charity, taking care of the orphan, looking out for women's rights, looking out for the rights of all minorities. So it's like, this is incredible. That was going through my mind back then in 10th grade. So, you know, from that point on, it was like a sort of obsession. So that was the immediate attraction, just the simplicity of Islam.
And this is True Talk on WMNF. I'm speaking to Imam Derek Pete right now about his journey to Islam and how he became an imam. It's actually a two-part series. You mentioned women's rights in there. We definitely want to talk about that in future interviews. But right now we're focusing on your journey. Did the teacher respond when you asked, why isn't everybody Muslim? You know,
everybody always asks me that question. But so her response was everybody has their own cultures and their own modes of religious expression. You know, that's a satisfactory answer generally, but for me in particular, I wanted to know, like, what was right. Because one of the religions has to be right. And for me, that was appearing very much to be Islam. And I'd say from that point on, that was clearly what I was going towards. Islam is what I would choose.
Mm.
Yeah.
And did you ever envision yourself that you're going to be an imam at some point? What, that young age? Or?
You know, a few months in, after interacting with the community, I wanted to be an imam. You know, I said, I want to study. I want to do things that an imam would do. Then I was told to not be an imam by a particular member of the community. And that will be important later on, because then I'll get to that. Why that was important, and that was good advice, and I'll explain why. And that explanation is important. But then, so I turned my mind away from being an imam, and I was, you know, studied journalism and Arabic in at UF, University of Florida. With the intent was I wanted to do a PhD, or attend law school. But then upon graduating, it's like a ton of feelings and a desire to really know the religion at a deeper level. They just overcame me. And I felt like if I didn't study, I would basically lose it. I mean, it was just it was irresistible.
Lose what?
Lose my faith, lose my mind, just lose, when they say get a grip, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if I don't do this, I won't. It was just like a sort of impulse that I couldn't ignore, mm-hmm. that I need to study, need to give this time. It's not something that I can put off. I need to do it.
How did you spend your college years? I mean, the University of Florida is known as one of the biggest party cities in the country. Yeah, it's you don't have to confess here to anything. But did the faith help you through that time?
Absolutely.
Because I mean, you hear wild things happening in Gatorland.
I was protected from so much stuff because of, you know, just from the faith and also the IOC, Islam on Campus there at University of Florida. Muslim Student Association, mm-hmm. Association of Students, Muslim students that come together to basically form a group, gatherings in Ramadan and to bring lecturers, to have religious conferences. And this really was a source of a lot of guidance for me, a lot of religious growth and understanding. So yeah, it was a huge source of protection. I mean, I had friends in that lived in the dorms that were not of, you know, any particular religious persuasion, but many of these students, they were in the dorms and they just had to go home. Why? Because they were simply just partying all the time, couldn't get any work done or didn't get any work done, and you know, unfortunately,
they had to leave school.
Just had to leave.
It's too much.
Just too much.
I oftentimes like feel like, you know, college, when you take kids out of high school from under the roof of their parents and just throw them out there in this like huge universities, and it's hard for many of them to adjust, and then it's like it's a bit traumatic.
Huge adjustment for me. Even with IOC, even with, you know, trying to be as observant as I could, it was very difficult. And I think...
Did people look at you like you're weird or like, hey, you're not the norm here?
All
you're
the time. Mm-hmm.
And so how did you... And with the desire, like, humans to be accepted, to be popular, to, like, not be, like, you know... And, you know, you're, mashallah, a handsome man and stuff. It's not like you're deficient. But to have those things and then to still be, like, treated like, oh, you're a weirdo, you know, why aren't you acting like the rest of us?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a tough thing, but I think that the brotherhood that we had there at UF, mm-hmm. and that there were certain older brothers that were there. I don't know if I'm willing to even mention their names, some of these guys, because they were just stand-up guys. These guys really...
It was more like, it's like a fraternity of...
It functioned like that.
Mm-hmm. Without Greek fraternity.
Without any hazing and without the controversial stuff, of course, not to be offensive. But just a support system, you know, that older brothers were there. Because when I got there, I was a kid. I mean, I didn't know how to take the bus. When in Florida, of course, we usually have cars. We don't rely on buses so much. But that's the first time that I was basically forced to take the bus and figure out my own way. My mom wouldn't be taking me to the supermarket anymore. I had to go shop for myself. Clean for myself, wash my own clothes, you know, make sure that everything was in order for myself. And having older brothers to say, do X, Y, and Z, go here, go there, do this, avoid that, it was huge. You know, and that's something I think we as Muslims have to look to develop, these sort of support systems, and put our full weight behind that sort of support, you know, human resources, and having this sort of support for our Muslim youth that are in the most maybe volatile and also vulnerable point in their lives.
Those moments of transition.
Those moments of transition, because you know, it's tough, and we know it, but sometimes we don't put the effort in. We don't put enough effort into knowing what we need to do, and then having an action plan and following through with that. Unfortunately, sometimes we allow certain names and certain little petty divisions that come between us as human beings and also as Muslims that effectively really just hurt the next generation. That's what it does. It's harmful.
This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. This is Ahmed Bedir. I'm speaking with my guest, Derek Peet, Imam Derek Peet, American-born, Jamaican roots, and African-American. And now as an imam, you're a product of America.
I am.
And now you're an imam, a Muslim leader in the community, calling and advising and counseling Muslims. But you're not from overseas. You're from here. So you decided to go on this journey to become an imam and study abroad. Why did you need to go study abroad? It seems like there's not adequate or enough, I guess, Islamic universities here that teach.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe there's more resources now than back then. I think there we've come a long way in terms of the community as far as having educational resources and institutions. But back then, there wasn't that much, especially for immersion into Arabic.
Why is the Arabic important?
Well, Arabic is the they call it the lingua franca, or the common tongue, amongst Muslims. This is the language of the Quran, and also the language of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
When you say language of the Quran, so unless you know Arabic, you can't be Muslim or know the Quran?
Well, it's a means of it's a mode of conveyance. But anyone from any particular language or racial background or ethnicity can be a Muslim. It's just that the scripture is preserved in the Arabic language, and the religion is preserved in the Arabic language. But they will then find different expressions in the varying languages of the world.
Because Muhammad, peace be upon him, that was his native language, and the Quran was revealed to him in that language and has been preserved since then in that same language. Mm-hmm. So you're saying the author, if you want to get to the exact source or read and understand from the exact source instead of translations, that's why Arabic is so important.
Yeah,
so how long did you study Arabic?
In some ways, I'm still studying it.
Okay.
began from my first convert, converted, just reading the Arabic, learning to read the Arabic script, and then University of Florida, studying the fundamentals of the grammar, what they call morphology, building my vocabulary, then transitioned to Egypt to study, you know, for more complete immersion into an Arab society, studied a language institute there.
Was Egypt the first Arab country you went to?
Yes.
I mean, Muslim country.
Yes.
Muslim and Arab.
Yeah.
Now, you had already been, how many years had you been Muslim at that point? I guess 6 years.
Yeah.
So, you've read about Islam, you've read about Muslims, you interacted with some of them on college campuses in America, and in the community at the mosque in South Florida. But now you went to a Muslim majority country. Mm-hmm. And was it as you expected it? Was it different? Was it a culture shock? What did you find there?
Yeah, definitely a culture shock. I think that's to be...
How so?
In hindsight, I'd say it's to be expected. But as a young, you know, recent college graduate, you can be a little bit idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the world's supposed to be this particular way, and we have to... Not to be condescending to any young people, but as young people, we can be idealistic and maybe, you know, have a picture of the world in our minds that it's not really accurate. You know, so it was definitely a culture shock.
So it was a wake up call.
It was a wake up call in many different ways.
I mean, so when you say you were idealistic, when you were reading about this faith,
yeah,
and this community of Muslims, uh-huh, and Islam, which you idealized, I guess that you found in the books, you were hoping to go there and find that same kind of community
basically that
you read about in the books?
Yeah, I was hoping to project that idealistic image in my mind just on a society, and it's all going to be good and great and rosy. And
you didn't find that there.
Didn't find that. Not, you know, I mean, alhamdulillah, you find good people. But in terms of the idealistic image, you know, it's also part of life that you grow, you learn. You see how life is really lived. You see how people live in different ways. And you learn, you grow, your you know, horizons are expanded. Of course, sometimes, you know, culture shocks do happen. I think it happens to anyone. Maybe a person coming from Egypt or Saudi Arabia or Palestine to America, definitely it's going to be a culture shock. Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways. So definitely a culture shock, you know, going to Egypt initially. But also, you know, a lot of learning, a lot of like really wholesome growth. I'd say one of the first early lessons that I picked up in Egypt was just being humble as a person.
How so?
Sometimes in Western education, the development of a person's character it's basically your education is separated from character development. But you get the sense in Egypt that when you educate yourself and you approach knowledge or you approach people, there are certain customs and norms and manners are really, really important. How you know, and I saw that legacy there in Egypt of people being humble. And also, I mean, coming from the West, we're privileged as Americans. And sometimes we think that privilege sometimes leads us to arrogance. Everybody should be like us. You know, everybody should, you know, for example, you need to bring democracy to them, right? These ideas. And that affects us in ways that sometimes makes us a little bit, you know, arrogant. So going to Egypt and seeing that, wait a second, not everybody lives the way we do in the States, nor should they live that way. And some people maybe live in very difficult living situations, but you still find these people with a level of dignity and also a level of humility, a level of humanity that it's a really beautiful thing. So that's one of the early lessons that I picked up in Egypt, is the humility. That sticks out.
Mm. When you were there during that period, that same period, there was a lot of turmoil in the Middle East. There was the Arab Spring that came up. There were revolutions and counter-revolutions. There were the chaos that happened in Iraq and in Syria, and breaking up of that country, and you know, the ISIS coming about as a result of the wars. So all these things were happening there. How did that impact you when you're seeing all these images, horrific images of groups like ISIS that mm-hmm. were obviously acting outside and completely opposite from mm-hmm. what you were learning? What was your reaction to it? Or were you at that point already comfortable or solid in your religion and deen that you knew how to deal with it?
If I said it was all rosy, I'd be lying. Mm-hmm. If I said it was easy experiencing the Egyptian Revolution, wouldn't be telling the truth. The journey overseas wasn't easy. It wasn't always perfect. Sometimes it was downright hard and, you know, many ways traumatic. That's a part of the journey, you know, seeing the Egyptian Revolution and, you know, being in a foreign country that, you know, it was really the revolution occurred, I think.
2011.
Yeah, 2011.
It's actually, today is the anniversary of the revolution was yesterday, January 25th, 2011.
Wow.
And right now it would have been, 2011. And Mubarak, who was the dictator of that country for a long time, stepped down in February 12th or 11th, I believe. So there was a lot of turmoil during that period. But then even post that, there was a lot of turmoil that was happening up until, you know, even 2013 when the military staged the coup and overthrew the government. And so there was a lot of back and forth.
Yeah. It was, definitely. So much to say concerning that, especially that period right there, you know, that time in Egypt. It was, It was stressful. You know?
Was your education interrupted? Did you?
Yes. So I had to come back home, actually. I came back to the States. I eventually went back to Egypt, but I had to come back. I came back home for like a month because we didn't know what was going to happen. And also the American embassy, you know, recommended that all American citizens leave the country. So when we heard that, me and other friends, we left. That was also, you know, a sad thing because, you know, I dedicated myself to a particular course of study. And then, you know, basically, you know, that seemed to be in jeopardy. So
that means that's a further culture shock from what the image that you had idealized about that region, and now you see so much fighting.
You know, one of the things that you hear about Egypt, or that you knew about Egypt for under Mubarak, that there was stability, you know, not that it was perfect. I'm not saying that, but especially being in Egypt, it felt like things were, would be okay. Even like when the religion revolution first started, my teacher, he told me, this is going to end after a few days. The people are going to go home after a few days. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. When it then continued, that was like, okay, what's going to happen, you know, in a foreign country? it was quite an experience. Probably the biggest thing was not even so much, wasn't the tear gas, wasn't the noise, wasn't like hearing gunshots. What really, I think, was the most difficult for me and a close friend of mine was that we really didn't know what was going on.
The uncertainty?
Uncertainty factor.
How did your faith help you?
Pressure.
I mean, now that you're an imam and you've finished or at least did a lot of courses,
mm-hmm.
People have a lot of anxiety about uncertainty, whether it's in their personal lives. I mean, it doesn't even just have to be on a country level. How do you tell people to cope with uncertainty now?
Really, we have to recognize, you know, it really goes back to tying our identity as servants of God, and that God is really in control, and he was in control before we had control of anything. Like, we didn't bring ourselves into this life. We didn't really feed or take care of ourselves for the first few years. And then when we're given a little bit of control, or a little bit of understanding, we then start to worry about things that God is fundamentally in control of, and he will be in control of. So in many ways, you just have to have knowledge of that, that same God, provider, sustainer, that sustained us in the past, that currently sustains us now, right? That he's going to continue to do that in the future and not let anything get in the way of that knowledge, and also self-knowledge, knowing who we are. Of course, easier said than done. This is why in the religion we have, the daily prayers and also recitation of Quran, that we're effectively reminded of these important lessons. But back then, of course, very stressful. I think and also more stressful because we weren't going to the mosque, we weren't interacting with people, we were just in the house.
Mm.
So we didn't have that communal feel anymore, where you can see someone, talk to them, and, you know, find out kind of what's going on. For the first, I think, 2 days, we just had to stay in the house because we seriously didn't know what we would see if we went outside. But in any case, the faith definitely helped me through at that time, and also having my friend with me, that was huge. Yeah.
You mentioned God in control. Who is God?
So God, he is the creator of the universe. He is one. He is the sustainer, meaning that he gives creation life, but also sustains it throughout its the term of its life. Any particular creature or being other than God is sustained by God. So God is he who, one, he's called upon, he's the sustainer, but he is the one who needs nothing, but everything needs him. This is one of the concise descriptions of God.
That does God
needs nothing, mm-hmm. but everything needs him.
Does God have a gender?
No.
You're referring to him as he.
So we say he, because this is the appropriate linguistic gender in Arabic that you'd use for God. There's no neuter. There's no it in Arabic. So everything is either he or she. Like in other languages, in gendered languages, so the pronoun used for God is he, even though God is not a man.
So God is not a man or a woman.
No.
But I guess that's where it's different in the Christian.
So we believe that, so God, he creates male and female, and he makes that male and female a sign of him, and that a sign that points back to his oneness. Some fundamental differences here with other faiths, such as Christianity. We believe that Christianity, that the sense of God as Father was something that was metaphorical. It was an expression of love, of care, of an overseer, of a being that gives life to humankind, but at the same time wasn't to be taken literal in the sense of God having an actual gender or particular body parts that would indicate gender or anything like that.
Where is God?
So, God
in your belief system.
So God is beyond space and time. Theological discussion here, but that God, he exists in a realm that is beyond space and beyond time. It's a long discussion, but we don't restrict God to place or to time. That he creates space, he creates time, and he exists in a way that transcends all of these sort of descriptions. He exists in a realm that is fundamentally different than one of space and time. It's a realm of one that can be experienced spiritually, but attempting to describe it spatially or in terms of time, it wouldn't apply.
When you close your eyes, if you close your eyes now, go ahead. And you imagine God, what do you see? Is there anything there?
What I would imagine is, I've trained myself over the years to, not coming from Christianity, I've trained myself over the years to not, attribute any pictures to God. But if I was to attempt to do that, it would be really blinding light. It's a blinding light that I wouldn't be able to effectively see past. And of course, something that our prophet explains, peace be upon him, that this light, these veils will only be effectively revealed on the day of judgment. This is when we have what they call the beatific vision, where we see God in his full majesty and we see the reality of what it means to be God.
If you did that exercise when you were a teenager or before you were a Muslim, you saw something else?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
A man on a throne.
Really?
As a Christian, you see a man.
Is that? I wonder what our listeners see. Maybe you could email us at truetalk@wmnf.org. If you close your eyes now, and what do you imagine, and send me that. Because when I close my eyes, I just see blank.
Yeah.
I guess because I've never attributed, like in my own mind, I've never attributed any image, because I was born Muslim, I've never attributed any images to God. So it's just space.
You're preconditioned to do that.
Yeah.
So you're raised to not associate.
Has issued a tornado warning for northwestern Hillsborough County in west central Florida until 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 12:47 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a radar-indicated waterspout was located just offshore near Feather Sound, over 7 miles east of Clearwater, moving northeast at 40 miles an hour. Hazard, tornado. Source, radar-indicated rotation. Impact, flying debris will be dangerous to those caught without shelter. Mobile homes will be damaged or destroyed. Damage to roofs, windows, and vehicles will occur. Tree damage is likely. This tornado will be near Tampa, Egypt, Lake Leto, and Citrus Park around 12:55 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Other locations impacted by this tornadic thunderstorm include Carlwood, Town North Country, West Park, and West East. Take cover now. If your home is flooded, avoid flood waters. If possible, take shelter in an interior room. Avoid windows. If you are outdoors, in a mobile home, or in a vehicle, move to the closest substantial shelter and protect yourself from flying debris. Repeating, a tornado warning has been issued until 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following county, Hillsborough, Florida.
I think, so I need to explain a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, first explanation I would give is, I was once in the, in a line at a Chick-fil-A buying some French fries for my son, and a person said that had a bumper sticker. It said that my church is nature.
Mm.
My church is nature. For me, that was really powerful because when we are in nature, when we are off the grid, when we're disconnected, we are connecting to God's signs. So that when you look out into the world, you will see manifestations of God's attributes, right? We're not saying that God is in the world or you're seeing Allah, you're seeing God, but you do see his actions and that he's in control of all things. But especially in nature now, when you look out onto nature, this is when God is showing you signs of himself. Mm-hmm. So that nature, you're seeing God's signs. So in many ways, if you want to see God, open your eyes. And then also, to experience God, also maybe meditate by closing your eyes too.
Is that why you think we live in a less godly world, that people have moved away from faith because less people are spending time in nature?
Definitely. In the words. Yes. It's one of the things that even I think it's been studied that the more people can see the stars, the more they connect to the unseen, the more they're thinking about God, the more they're thinking about heaven, the other life. And these stars, of course, meant to be, being out in nature, away from, the light pollution, that when you look towards the heavens, You reconnect to that beauty. You reconnect to what we call that, again, going back to that word, fitra, that state of primordiality, of being neutral, of being in tune with one's nature, and that nature in which God created us upon. Because God is the creator of all things, and when he creates, he doesn't only create, he also fashions. And just like you would have, for example, an artist that puts his signature on his work of art, God has a signature on everything that he does. So it's then a sign that represents him and points back to him. We have a joke that even the most militant atheist is even a sign of God.
Oh.
That same atheist,
have a lot of atheists that listen to our show.
Oh, well, then that's no offense, but we as Muslims, we'd say that a person who doesn't believe in God.
Do Muslims have a problem with atheists? Or?
No, we firmly believe.
Are they free to not believe?
They are free to not believe. We are very tolerant of anybody from any faith. We even, to an extent, embrace atheism, right?
What does that mean?
Whoa.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
So what are we saying, though? We're saying that an atheist has a part of Islamic belief.
How?
That the first thing that any believer in any Muslim has to do, he has to first negate the existence of any God.
Oh, okay. So they're almost there. Because atheists are already negating all gods.
So, yeah.
They're kind of almost there.
I have to tell people, I didn't make up the, the formulation for our...
Yeah, explain that. What is that?
So it's that there's no God. This is the first part. There's no God.
So it starts by negation.
Negation. And then affirmation. Then no God but Allah. But we have to break it down with the clauses. Because that's an important clause. It's a radical
introduction to God, mm-hmm. that there's no God. Wow. And then accept Allah. So that the person who doesn't believe in God, usually they do that.
So the atheists are really just two words away. Because they just stop at there's no God.
we can say that. They're definitely just, they're right there. But, you know, why did I say embrace? Or why do I say that I kind of explained it. But one of the reasons for kind of not embracing atheism, but to appreciate a person's willingness to inquire, to research, and to have a stance. Because some people go through their lives, having maybe never considered their religious identity. Maybe a person sat down and thought about it, that I look at this world and I've made the conscious decision that I don't believe. And that they do that in a way that, they've given it consideration.
They believe in science. Muslims believe in science?
Definitely. Of course, we have a particular approach to science that we have science concurring with scripture, so that science is going to corroborate what's in scripture, and scripture is going to corroborate what's in science. Now, it's important to understand that even in science, and scientists will say this themselves, not everything in modern day science is concrete. It's something that's always changing. So we then have to, especially as Muslims, be careful with, okay, what are you firm on? So then we can say, okay, then we can have a comparison. Because if something is always changing, you then can't have a proper comparison, can you?
Just means somebody's calling this strobing light. It's not a fire alarm or anything.
Yes.
Because, we can't have ringing phones, so then they just use light, because it'll disrupt the studio.
All right.
If every time a phone rings. Mm. The imam was just looking around saying, like, what's happening here? Do we have to evacuate? And it's a strobing light in the room. Yeah. We're almost out of time, but we're going to continue this conversation next Thursday. Somebody sent in a question asking, does the imam have a recommendation for a place or a way to study Islam or the Quran as a non-Muslim? I have an academic interest in learning more. Anything online he would recommend or endorse? So for a non-Muslim that wants to study Islam or the Quran, what are some of the places that you can invite them to
do? I think there's a good website. There's a Seekers Guidance. That's Seekers with an S. guidance.org. That's one. But then you also have...
But that one is not necessarily academic, right?
That one's actually very academic.
Is it? But is it geared to a Muslim audience or non-Muslim or both?
They have that very...
has issued a tornado warning for North Central Hillsborough County in West Central Florida until 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 12:56 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a confirmed waterspout was located just offshore Tampa International Airport over near Tampa, moving northeast at 35 miles an hour. Hazard, tornado. Source, weather spotters confirmed waterspout moving onshore. Impact, flying debris will be dangerous to those caught without shelter. Mobile homes will be damaged or destroyed. Damage to roofs, windows, and vehicles will occur. Tree damage is likely. This tornado will be near Tampa, Temple Terrace, Lutz, Greater Carlwood, Egypt Lake Leto, University, and Lake Magdalene around 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Other locations impacted by this tornado include Busch Gardens, Raymond James Stadium, Carlwood, University of South Florida, and West Park. Take cover now. If your home is flooded, avoid flood waters. If possible, take shelter in an interior room. Avoid windows. If you are outdoors, in a mobile home, or in a vehicle, move to the closest substantial shelter and protect yourself from flying debris. Repeating, a tornado warning has been issued until 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following county, Hillsborough, Florida.
ask this question.
WMNF Tampa.